A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Bechoros Mem Hei, Bechoros 45a, pagination is 89. We'll start at the last line of the facing page, Masnisin, where the Mishnah begins. Makish Bekarsu Lav Uva'ar Kavosov. A Kohen that has his legs positioned in such a way that the ankles are knocking or the knees are knocking. And these are included in the mumin, the blemishes that would invalidate him from doing the avoda, the service in the Beis HaMikdash. On today's daf, dropping down about 8 lines, Yeser b'yadav uv'raglav, if he has an extra finger or toe, Sheish Vishesh Esrim V'arba, to the point that he actually has 6 on each limb for a total of 24 fingers and toes. Rabbi Yehuda Machshev HaChacham and Poslim. Rabbi Yehuda says that's fine. It's considered a praiseworthy thing based on a pasuk that it's formidable. And the Chachamim say that's possible. The Gemara develops this concept of limbs and gets into the discussion that we are familiar with of this number of how many limbs there are in a person. So we have the number 248. And we're told in the Gemara that that's actually the number for a man. But a woman has additional, based on the womb. She has 4 more for a total of 252. If you take a look in the wide lines of the Gemara, midway, at the end of a line, Tanan Hossam, we learnt over there. This is a topic that's closely related to Tumah and Taira, because in a dead person, we're going to be dealing with how much of a presence of the dead body is there to create Tumah, ritual impurity. Tanan Hossam, we learned. Rov bin Yanov, Rov min Yano Shalmeis. If you're dealing with most of the body, most of the build, or most of the limbs. Tanu Rabbanan, how do you do that? Ezehu Rov bin Yano, Shnei Shokayim v'Yerech Echad. If you have the length of the person, the legs, Hol v'Rov Gavho, dealing with the height. Ezehu Rov bin Yano, how do you calculate most of the number, meaning the number of bones? Kuf Chaf Hei, it would be 125, because 248 divided by 2 would be exactly half, would be 124. That's going to give you 248. So if instead of 124 you're up to 125, then you have the majority. Amalei Ravina L'Rava Tana Minyana Asala Ashmi Inon. Did the Tana come to teach me elementary math? And the Gemara answers, Kamash Malon, it's coming to teach you, Kedetanya, an unusual case that would follow these rules as well. Chaser She'embo Ela Masayim. If a person was born with only 200, V'yaseh She'eshba Masayim Mishmonim, and a person who's got a lot, he's got 280, 281. Kulan olam l'minyan kuf chaf hei. Those numbers count towards the universal majority, which is 125, even though in this particular body, it's not a majority, or less would have been a majority. It doesn't matter. Zilbos aruba de inchi, you follow the constant, and once there are 125 of the bones, that's going to constitute the majority. The Gemara tells us there was an incident where a woman's body was given to the students of Rabbi Yishmael with a directive that they had to take care of finishing off the execution. And in the process of their gruesome task that the government insisted that they do, these students paid attention to the number of limbs, and they came up with 252. And they knew the tradition that a human body has 248. So they came to Rabbi Yishmael and said, the numbers don't match. We came up with more than the number expected. Amar Lohem, Rabbi Yishmael responded, Shema Be'isha Bedaktem. Must be that it was a woman's body, because in the case of a woman's body, there are additional parts, Shnei Tzirim and Shnei Delossos. The description is hinges and doors of the womb, the mechanism of how the uterus works, has additional parts, and those parts amount for the discrepancy that you encountered. We indeed have this concept that when we make a mishaberach for a person, if you're making a mishaberach specifically for men, then we say Ramach Evarov Ushasagidov. We call it 248. Whereas if we're dealing with a mishaberach for women or an all-inclusive, we may say L'chol Evareha U'L'chol Gideha. You're dealing with a woman, so you say for all, or we don't specify the number. The number is a significant number. We have mitzvah saseh, for example, correspond to the 248. And the woman with her capacity for childbirth is more. But the base number is 248, and the woman has more in order to have children. Turning the page on Amud Beis, Masnisin, almost midway on the page, we have a case of Kushi, a Kohen that's unusually dark. The word Kushi would mean black. Question of exactly how the Mishnah expects us to understand that word, but extremely dark. The Gemara describes something even darker, which Rashi translates as Shulei Kedera, so dark, like a darkened pot. Ubaalei Negoim Tahorim, if he has afflictions similar to Tzaras, but they happen to be Tahar, so he's not being sent away. Nevertheless, Pesulim Ba'adam, they're going to invalidate him from doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the cases of the Mishnah is the case of Kipeach, which is described in the Gemara as Gavoha, first word on a line, someone extremely tall. And the Gemara wonders, someone who's tall is considered a praise. Why is this considered a blemish? Amar Rav Papa explains, Ba'aricha Shemita Sanya, so tall and thin that the body isn't able to support the height, and they bend over in an abnormal way. Also included on today's daf is that a Kohen Hanose Noshim Ba'avera, Posel Achiye Direnu Hana'a, a person who is marrying women that he's not allowed to marry. A Kohen married a divorced woman. So until he vows to end that relationship, he's not allowed to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and we would have a similar discussion regarding duchening, saying Birchas Kohanim. Vametame lemesim, if he does another thing that is a violation for a Kohen to do, to become ritually impure by going into a cemetery, by coming in contact with dead bodies, apostolachi kabbal alav shloyim etame lemesim, he has to accept that he will stop doing this. And the Gemara on the next daf wonders, why is it different that by women who are of illicit relationship to him, he has to make a special vow, and by coming in contact with dead bodies, he just has to accept. And the Gemara explains, Yitzra Takfo, when it comes to the women case, his desire is coming into play, and unless he makes a vow, it's not going to stop. We don't have a reliable stop to it. Whereas the ritual impurity case, if he accepts upon himself, he'll be able through willpower to stop. A related topic is, what about a Kohen who's intermarried? He's married to a non-Jewish woman. So even though it's not clear that that's a case that's truly codified, Mishnah did say, Nosei Noshim Ba'Aveira, marries women in sin, but marrying a non-Jewish woman is not considered a marriage. It's even less. Kiddushin isn't tofes. Nevertheless, clearly, it's a significant deviation, even greater deviation than marrying a divorced woman. And presumably on grounds of kahal rules, such a person would not be duchening and would go out at the time of Birchas Kohanim. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.